I think we'd all agree, we're surrounded by a lot of strange stuff. There's people who come into our path and we wonder, what are they doing? What's God's purpose for either us meeting them or them being on the earth at all? And there's some strange things for sure, like ideas completely outside of our understanding. For some, it would be faith healers. For some, it would be people predicting when the world might end. For some, it's people playing or making music, which makes them squirm and makes no sense to us. For some, it's hearing outlandish ideas which come from seemingly nowhere. For some, it's people who just seem to inherently be evil or have no conscience. For some, it's kids today acting way out of whack. For some, it's trying to understand why parents are the way they are. I had to put that in there too. And friends, I think we can all agree we're living in a very strange time, right? Everything is not just different, but, well, like we've never known it before. And though there's different opinions on how to interact and react to the COVID-19 virus, none of us would have ever predicted such a thing would occur at least this time last year. Most of us have had to familiarize ourselves very quickly with terms like social distancing, asymptomatic, and carrier, terms which have actually been around a while. We just haven't used them since the influenza, perhaps 100 years ago. And I'm quite sure we felt the strangeness of having to wear masks pretty well everywhere we go, unless you have a medical condition. And it may seem strange to some even to have to go through the regularity of COVID-19 testing, especially if you're in the medical field or around people on a daily basis. But as I consider all that might be strange, I'm struck with a thought. Wouldn't it be wonderful if sincere love wasn't so strange to think about? If love reigned and it wasn't just the norm, but the only thing we did on earth? What if love was the only thing we knew, the only way to be, the one attitude we all had? Wouldn't it be nice? Well, it'd be strange, that's for sure. And why? Because it's hard for us to imagine a love so great. It defies and consumes and overrides everything. If love was the only concept we knew and lived, what would we do? How would we be? Would the world be better? Would we understand one another more? Would all problems be gone? I can't help thinking as I read Romans 12, 9 to 21. Happens to be one of my favorite passages of scripture. But as I was going over it this time, I thought, oh gosh, as I read down, do not do this, do that. Gosh, how, if we did all that, is it even possible? It seems so strange. I can't help thinking, though, the Romans were confronting, just like we are, a need for sincere love as Paul was ministering to them in their strangeness. And believe me, their times were quite strange. Lots of separation between the rich and the poor. No mention of faith whatsoever was permitted in many circles of government. And yet, here they are, listening to Paul, an evangelist, preach a gospel message of love. How strange. And yet, Paul reminds them, even as they're facing those harshest of realities, even as they're forming their identity, even as they may have great separation physically or emotionally from one another, he says, let love be the only thing you know. Let it be sincere. Model that love. Practice it. It makes all the difference in the world. Let love be strange to the point others can't help but take notice. Let it be strange enough to the point where arguments seem ridiculous and understanding feels awesome and normal. A strange idea for sure in these diverse times, friends, but no less than what the Romans faced. But the call was very much alive now. Do not let evil win. Do not. Today's passage is really in two sections. The first, in verses 9 through 13, Paul outlines some approaches to love, some guidelines for us. Let love be genuine. Hate what's evil. Hold fast to what's good. Love each other equally. Honor each other. Outdo one another. Be strange to one another, even in the way you bless others. View them above yourself. So what might that look like for us? Surprising the server or hairdresser with a great tip? Okay, that's nice. How about the trash collector or the construction worker or somebody who stops you? Somebody who cuts you off. No, you don't get out and give them a tip. But what about thinking to yourself, God bless them? Taking time for coworkers or family members you find odd. But maybe getting to know them over a meal, a phone call, or just extra time spent entering their world, even if you have to put yours aside for a few minutes. Maybe it means for us that love at BlackRock reaching out to all those who've lost loved ones. And there's many, friends, many. Maybe over the next 2 months, wouldn't it be wonderful if we went through the directory, each of us, and picked maybe two names a week to reach out to. Maybe send a card, sit with them, laugh with them, allow them to bless you, and together, what a strange love could grow even outside these walls. That goes right along with what Paul says in the next two verses. Be confident. Be confident in the energy the Lord's given you. Don't be lacking in zeal. Don't get tired of doing it. How strange a premise. How many of us come home at the end of a day and we're just done? Especially in moments when confidence seems to wane, depending on who we are and who we're around and how we're feeling. But how strange would it be for us to enter times caring for others with a vibrant vigor, a jubilant joy, serving the Lord, period, doing it not because we have to, but doing it because we can't wait to do it. Not asking questions whatsoever. How strange. And yet, what a demonstration of sincere love that truly would be from God. And then Paul goes on to list ways we can reach out to those strangers of all kinds. Contribute to the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Do you hear that? It's not just strangers as we might think. It's everyone. Paul wants everyone to be there for everyone. No exception. A strange idea. I think we'd all agree it's impossible to do that. But Paul doesn't want us to be defeated by such a thought. It's clear even in the Romans' time. They couldn't care for all their own people. And yet, here's Paul asking them to reach out to every stranger. Paul wants them to treat others, though, with that idea in mind, even if they can't do all of it. Every interaction they have, Paul wants them to model an equal, no conditional, understanding kind of love. How strange, but yet what sincere love that truly is from God. So, in these social distancing COVID-19 times, what qualities as difficult as they might seem in Paul's list to the Romans, which ones can't we do? We can and must hate what's evil, cling to what's good, be genuine in love, reach out to people, doing so with an energy which is not lacking, but which is blessing others, and doing so not just with strangers, but with friends in this place and everywhere, extending hospitality, thinking of them first and ourselves last. And BlackRock, one of our strengths, is modeling that strange idea of love to the world, a sincere love of Jesus. And it's something to celebrate, to share, to keep doing, even in these different times. Love from Jesus will never get old. And it's the best act of hospitality one can ever offer or receive in the form of the gospel of Jesus. We may not be able to touch hands now, but boy, we can touch hearts. There's no greater touch, no more sincere love than the gospel and love of Jesus Christ. And that sincere love, friends, changes everything for everyone who hears and accepts that love in their hearts. It just takes courage. Courage on our part by the power of the Holy Spirit to bridge gaps with people, to communicate with them, to take an interest in their world. That's a good beginning, to share the love of Jesus and to love in action. That's the heading of the whole passage, love in action. My nephew Kaysen has been growing like a weed at 5 years old, and my interactions with him have changed since he's now able to talk. Kaysen loves to play Uno. Okay, I do too. Anyone who wants to play anytime, come on over, we'll play. Uno. Some would say it's a child's game or an old people's game. I say it's an interesting, awesome game to come together in community. And another thing, Kaysen, the last time he was up, was so excited for me to sit with him while he played video games with my best friend Jim, his daddy. And I gotta tell you, I couldn't have cared less about them. In fact, the first time I sat down to listen while Jim and Kaysen played, I thought, this is gonna be horrible. And well, I wasn't disappointed, it was. And when I asked a question, Kaysen would say, "Stop, Brandon, we're trying to play." Of course, when their action video game called Cars was done, we laughed together, and I even said, "Hey, yeah, I'll sit with you a little more." And Kaysen smiled and said, "You can't play, Brandon, you can't even see." And I thought, gee, Kaysen, thanks for reminding me. But after the second game, we were talking and laughing about our time together and how Daddy always wins when he and Kaysen play and how interesting the sounds on the game are. Okay, they didn't fully sell me on that, but maybe after that, I didn't sit with Jim and Case while they played the rest of the week. They visited me, especially during the daytimes, but you know, I really wound up enjoying that interaction with family, because it was time we could grow in love together. And maybe I had to give up what I knew a little bit and understood to be in his world, Case's world. When each of us, a blind adult and a sighted youngster, could come together and maybe understand one another a bit more and show and share love to each other, God was there. Kaysen had so many questions about my Braille Uno cards. And after a few games, he won most of them. I could feel his curiosity melt away, and we just had fun playing together. The few times I would win during the week, Jim and Case both laughed and said to each other, "You can't trust what's behind those eyes, Brandon. You're just cheating when you're feeling the cards, aren't you?" Oh yes, friends. If we let ourselves, we can welcome one another, even if we don't think we can, in our differences of any kind. Age, politics, backgrounds. No excuses, Paul says. Divide doesn't have to be so normal. Amen? It should be strangely met with sincere love from Jesus as the new normal. And so, the second section of our passage talks about those difficult people we're around, those strange people, those people we wonder, why does God have them here? Or at least, why the heck does God have them around me? And Paul defines these people as enemies. He defines them, those constantly against you, no matter what you do. Those people who make you want to beat yourself up and beat your head against a wall. Those people who make you say, I've had it, I give up. Paul says, enter even their lives. Bless them. Pray for them. Don't curse them. Don't put them down. Rejoice even with them in their successes and comfort even them in their sorrows. I think we forget that passage. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn is right after Paul says, don't curse your enemies. Take time, he says, for them. Let it be strange to others, even your friends and family, to say, let them say, you know, they've been so horrible to you. Why do you care about them? Why are you spending your time with them? How strange, friends, but how sincere a love that is as we follow Jesus. And then there's a gentle reminder to make sure you don't think you're better or you know more than everyone else, because I guarantee, and I've experienced that, God has a way of reminding us when we think that way how much we just don't know. I've been around people, and I'm sure we all have, who think they know everything. I won't ask you who they are for you. And I don't know about you, but when I'm around them, I have to watch not feeling less than myself sometimes. When someone's arguing with me saying, well, you're wrong if you think that, I used to lash out. But now lately I've thought to myself, okay, I'll be wrong. I'd rather just share what we have in common. I don't have to be right. I don't have to justify who I am. And you don't have to justify yourself to me. We're both children of God in His eyes. And I love you. I hope you love me. I wish I could say I always feel that way, friends. But more often than not, when people get going on certain issues, I feel on pins and needles. And many times I won't share what I'm thinking about something. I'll just listen, letting them talk. Sometimes, friends, just being an ear for people is the most sincere love you can offer, even if you don't agree. It's the peace Paul describes in verses 18. Live at peace as much as possible with everyone, so far as it depends on you. In my mind, what Paul says, the time you take is a love you're building, not just in your heart and that other person's heart, but you're coming close to Christ Jesus. And maybe even if they don't know it, you're bringing them closer to Christ as well. And together, both of you will be blessed and better for your time together than you were apart. How strange, and yet how sincere a love that is from God. So friends, live with a sincere love in your heart. Offer your enemies even the food and drink, if not in form physically, in the form of grace, forgiveness, and mercy from Christ. Yes, even our enemies deserve to hear the gospel of Jesus' love. Compassionate, caring love. Be okay being wrong in their eyes, to be right in God's eyes. Do your part to draw people together. Be the church. Don't let evil win. I love verse 12 too, one of my favorite verses of entire scripture. Be joyful. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Can we say that together? Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. One more time. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. What a recipe to live by and be with others and model a sincere love as we follow Christ. And if we each make an honest effort to do that, friends, maybe others in the world will find the idea of the church strange, but a blessing. But how strange would it be if people said of the church, we want to go there because we know we're not going to be judged by what we are. They listen to us. They don't judge us who we are, what our past might be. What if people said of the church, we want to be around those people because they love us, period. We don't feel on trial or criticized when we're around them. What if people said of the church, I've always thought I didn't need a church in my life, but they've shown me how much I do. Because when I'm with them, I feel home. I'm with family. Oh, friends, in this age of brokenness, of social distance, of questionable integrity, of seemingly anything but love, similar to what the Romans experienced in Paul's time, wouldn't it be wonderful if we were strange to this world, but blessed God and others with that sincere love from Jesus, that love in action from Jesus. Black Rock, as I said before, we have it. It's one of our greatest gifts. So I've experienced. Let's share it. Let's not hide it. It's a unique gift we have to offer in the wider scheme, not only as brethren, but as Christians on this hill. That love in action is there, right here in the heart. And a pandemic will not take it away. No evil of any kind can consume or override it. It may be strange to others, but it's a beacon which will bless many. Let's close with this poem called Love One Another, which raises some questions. Have we ever shed the tears of another? Really gotten under the load? Suffered pain and agony of a brother or sister who walks a dark and lonely road? Do we love our sister or brother? Do we readily give to those folks who ask and joyfully help when we can? Are we ready and willing for any task, though it may interrupt our plan? Do we love one another? Are we willing to go that second mile, helping any way we can, when faced with a groan and a frown from, excuse me, when faced with a frown, do we lift with a smile and encourage our fellow man? Do we really, truly love? Or are we too preoccupied with our own to stop by the side of the road and offer a helping hand to one unknown who struggles with a heavy load? Do we love even or only our own? Our Lord teaches us to love one another and always go the extra mile, giving and forgiving, for he gave his life for every man, woman, and child. Friends, our Savior's love was very strange to a hurting, helpless, hateful world. So our love should be captured now in that same strange spirit, so others and us can follow Jesus more closely together, offering the gospel of love. It might be the strangest thing to some, but it's the greatest gift we've got to give in word and action. And it's the best thing anyone will receive. As you live yourself for others, with others, and as we follow Jesus, just love. Don't worry about being strange. Just be sincere. For because of Jesus' sincere love, indeed, it changes everything. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.